Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. We are really blessed and glad to have joining us Chuck Schumer, United States Senator for New York, Minority Leader in the Senate. He's decided to come and visit with us and tell us all what he's doing for the state of New York and the country on coronavirus, which is a subject that each and every one of us wants to hear. He also visits all 62 counties every year in New York State, and he has delivered countless victories in both big and small across the state. Chuck was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, where he attended and graduated from James Madison High School before attending and heading off to Harvard. He has two daughters, a young grandson, and he still lives in Brooklyn with his wife. Senator, welcome back to Reaching Out.
Always glad to be with you, Greg.
Thank you.
You're a great leader of working people.
Thank you. And once again, we are really glad to have you take time out of your busy schedule with all that's going on in this country. So we're going to get right into it, and we're going to ask you about your negotiated emergency package that has a lot of money to help New York deal with the coronavirus.
Right. Well, Greg, as you know, coronavirus is a epidemic, a pandemic that we haven't really seen the likes of in a long time. And all kinds of people got to shell out money. Of course, our city government and state government, housing authority, where you know very well, hospitals, nursing homes, community health centers, everybody. So our job is to make sure, A, we fight the virus, and we're going to try to make sure there's testing available for everybody. The federal agencies weren't as quick on that as they should have been. But second, that New York gets the money it needs. So immediately in that first emergency package, which really wasn't aimed at the localities, we got $33 million for New York, and that can just go to whatever New York needs. But that just scratches the surface. Right now, the bill that we're fighting for very hard, and I think should be signed into law, we get billions of dollars for New York, and New York can distribute it to its local communities like New York City, like the suburban areas, like the towns and villages, to hospitals, to the city housing authority, to whoever needs it in what they have to do. It's expensive to fight this virus, but of course, we'll pay a bigger price in lives and health if we don't. And we're also trying to get into the package things to help working people. Let's say you're laid off.
Yes.
You should get sick leave.
Okay.
Let's say you should get unemployment insurance right away without all the rigmarole and without waiting. Let's say you got to stay home because the school's closed, your schools have closed, and the kids are home. You should also be paid. The best way to keep our economy going is when people are hurt by this virus, they don't get it themselves, but they're not working, they're not getting paid, that we put some money in their pocket so they can live, pay the mortgage, buy the food, do whatever they got to pay the rent. But at the same time, that pumps money into the economy, which is now being taken out by this coronavirus.
Now, let me ask you a question. It's just a thought. If you work in New York, you live in Jersey, you're laid off from New York, does that package cover you in New York, or do you have to go to New York State, New Jersey?
Wherever you work.
Wherever you work.
If the unemployment insurance would cover you in New York, but if you work in Jersey, probably the sick leave would be in New Jersey. Because you're staying home in Jersey. But it'll all be made very clear to people on the website once it passes.
Very good. Very good. So what is the status of that right now, currently?
The bill
is March 13th.
Right.
So if this
so
airs
as
later.
We speak, it's Friday afternoon. The House will probably vote on it this evening, and then it comes to the Senate on Monday, where I'm trying to work to get it done there.
Okay. Now, I think we want to stay on the the coronavirus for a period of time. What have you learned about containment? What can we expect?
Well, this is very contagious. Now, it's so new that the scientists don't know everything about it. Most of the scientists feel it is not contagious until you get the symptoms. And what are the symptoms? They're very simple. Fever and a cough. It's usually a dry cough. If you got a runny nose, if you got congestion, that's probably not it. But a cough, a dry cough, not a wet cough, and if most of all, fever. I'd recommend if people are worried about whether they're exposed to this, just get one of those thermometers and take your temperature. Because if you don't have temperature, you may still have it, but it hasn't broken out. And the most, not all, of the scientists and doctors who study this say, if you're not with symptoms, you can't spread it. So that's a good thing. And that's why we need testing, Greg. Because if we could test everybody, we could tell those who have the virus, even if they haven't gotten really sick, stay home so you don't spread it. But everyone else who is tested negative, doesn't have it, can go about their lives. They can go to work, go to the stores, kids go to school. That's why we need testing. But the testing has been very slow. And the reason is that the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, had a test at first that was faulty. And no one understands the answer to this question. Okay. We'll get an answer sooner or later. So when China had the virus, they published the DNA of the virus. And a German company said, we can do a test for it. And the World Health Organization, which is all the health organizations of the world, they came out and said, this is a good test. 69 countries said, yes, we'll use that test. But the U.S. said, no, we'll do our own test. I don't know why that was. But the test they had originally didn't work. So now they're working on a test. In fact,
The test that the U.S. had originally didn't work.
Didn't work. Yes, that's right. So actually, some of our labs at our hospitals and at our private laboratories can do their own test. And I called the vice president and said, let the New York states, the New York labs do their own testing. And they've agreed to that this morning. So we'll get more tests out in about a week.
So let me ask you, the other 69 countries that agreed to take that German company's test, did the test work?
Yes. So why we turned it down, I don't know.
That's amazing.
That's amazing, and we're trying to get to the bottom of that. CDC is not saying why.
No, they're not saying why.
I don't blame them. I do blame them.
It's probably going to come out why.
It will.
So what does a test... I mean, what does it consist of? What do you know?
It's what it is is they do a swab in your nose, you know, nasal swab, and then they put it with these chemicals, and in 3-4 hours later, it tells you whether you got it or you don't.
3-4 hours later.
Yeah, takes a while for it to germinate.
No, that's kind of quick though.
Well, the original test was several days, but now they're down to a test. They have to what's called automate it. In other words, it doesn't each one doesn't have to be done by hand, but a machine can automate it. And the CDC and the FDA, the federal agencies in charge, just gave the okay.
Wow, that's progress.
I've been pushing them.
That's progress. So, by now you know that March Madness, the NCAA tournament, has been banned. The NBA is on suspension.
Baseball,
hockey.
And I feel for the work. I thought about it in the Broadway shows. All the people who work there. You know, the people who take the tickets, the people who sell the food.
Yes.
What are they going to do? That's why we're trying in this emergency package I mentioned that's being voted on in the House today and the Senate Monday, provide immediate unemployment insurance, immediate sick pay, things like that, so people still have some money in their pockets.
So the package is for those people who have been displaced because of coronavirus and their
businesses closed. And it also says, this is another important point about the test, free testing. Let's say you think you might have it, you have a fever, but you fear going to the doctor, he's going to charge you $250 and you don't have it. You may walk around with the virus.
Right.
So for this kind of emergency, we think there should be free testing, and the bill says that the federal government will pay for it.
Very good, very good.
Because that'll save money in the long run.
Sure. Now, you mentioned people being displaced. So people that work for Madison Square Garden, people who work in the NBA.
Yeah, feel for those people.
I read that Kevin Love, who plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers, put up $100,000 and taking up a collection for the people who work in that stadium to pay them.
God bless him. God bless him.
Thoughtful gentleman. Thoughtful NBA player.
He deserves all of our praise and thanks. Praise God for him.
And maybe
some others will do it. They're making lots of money.
It's a start. So for those who didn't overextend and... That they're not taking care of family members and everybody else because, you know, once you get a salary, if you could afford to do it, think about the person working.
But hopefully, if this bill passes, the bill will step in and they'll get their money.
Yes, very good.
But Kevin Love is good to fill in the gap right now.
Now, the second biggest part that's taking a back seat is the census.
Oh, yes. Just starting.
So I've received my census in the mail. It came yesterday. Yeah. When I go home tonight, I'm going to fill it out.
Good for you. Very important, Greg. The forms went out the last few days, so every household gets a form. And a lot of people should say, why should I bother? Here's why you should bother. When you get counted, it not only gives us better congressional representation, New York, New York City, New York State, more clout in Congress, but it entitles us to all kinds of money and benefits. So they're going to look at how many people are qualified for food stamps, you know, how many people need health care, how many people have Medicaid. All the federal formulas of how much money your neighborhood, your locality gets to help with certain things is determined by how many people are counted in the census. And it's not just for a year, it's for the next 10 years. So it's really important. The one thing I want to assure people, it's confidential. A lot of people are worried. I don't want to give this information, even if how old I got my five-year-old daughter living with me. It has always been confidential, and no one uses it. When they count up the money for the localities, they don't name your name. They say, so there are 3,800 people with kids in public school here. There are 1,800 people who need SNAP, food stamps. You know, that's how they do it in big numbers. No one's name is ever attached.
Now, I'm listening to the show, and I'm listening to you, Senator Charles Schumer, and I say, you know what? That doesn't affect me. Why should I fill out the census? I'm well off. It's not going to affect me. I don't need the services. Why should they care about it?
Well, the average person depends on some kind of money from the... How about making the schools better for your kids? A lot of the money is federal money. You want your kids to have good teachers. You want your kids to have good equipment. If you don't have it in the census, you won't get that federal money. How about police on the streets? The federal government does some of the funding of that. You want adequate police on the streets. That's important. Public housing, something you know well.
Yes.
When they know how many people are in public housing, that depends on the aid to the public housing, to fix the elevators, to keep the place clean, things like that. So it affects just about everybody.
Yes.
Now, if you're a multi-billionaire living in your mansion in the suburbs, probably not. But there aren't too many of them. There are lots of us. We need to fill it out.
Well, even the multi-billionaire, you said police service. They don't want people coming in and robbing them.
They probably got their own.
They might have their own, but they still have to interact with somebody.
Yeah, 100%. It affects
every single person.
Yep.
Okay. So you're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, our very special guest is minority leader in the Senate, United States Senator Charles Schumer. So last year, you repealed the Cadillac tax.
Oh, yes.
So tell us why that was important to working men and women.
And this particularly affects union folks, but other people too. Cadillac tax, if your health care was a really good health care plan, they taxed it. How did that? That didn't make any sense. They said, oh, it'll help us, quote, bend the cost curve, make the plans cheaper. No, it just palmed people who got good plans. So let me give you two examples. One's a union leader.
Yes.
Mr. Greg Floyd. The housing authority or union leader comes in and the company, whoever you're negotiating with, says, we'll give you a 5% raise. And you say, no, my members will take a 3% raise, but we want a really good health care plan. So God forbid my spouse, myself, my child gets sick. I'll know I'll have the best health care and there won't be this big deductible that I'll have to pay first. And you cut that deal.
Yes.
Now they're taxing you for doing that deal, even though you forewent certain wages. Well, let's say you're an individual. Let's say you're not a union, you're a middle-level management. And the boss comes in and says, you know, Joe, Jill, you did a great job. I'm going to give you a $5,000 raise. You say to the boss, you know what? I'd rather have $3,000 raise and put that $2,000 into a better health care plan. Under the Cadillac tax, you'd get taxed on that, an extra tax, because you wanted better health care. How dumb. They used it to help pay for the Obamacare. But it was a bad way to do it. I opposed it at the time. But it was there. And loads of people complained. Yes. Loads of people complained.
Yes.
And as costs on health care got higher and higher, the tax got greater and greater. And some people who weren't taxed at the beginning, as their costs got greater, were taxed. So this year, I put together a deal where the Democrats, we got the Cadillac tax. The Republicans didn't like a tax on medical devices, the big companies.
Yes, sure.
Which... it was probably taxed in an unfair way anyway. And we made a deal. Do the medical device tax repeal. Do the Cadillac tax repeal. No one thought it could be done. It got done. And so now working people who have good health care plans can breathe a sigh of relief. The tax is gone. Permanently gone.
So tell us, when did that take effect?
It'll take effect starting the next fiscal year, October. The next of tax year, which will be January 1st.
Of 2020.
21.
2021. Okay. Yep. That's very good, because we were all approaching that tax.
It was, by the way, there was none this year because we delayed it for a year or two, but next year it would have gone into effect. Now it's gone for good.
And that tax would have been on individuals, even if they worked for a municipality, even if they had their own.
It could have been on the individual. It could have been on the, yes.
Municipality.
Yes.
So New York City, New York State could have paid more in taxes.
Millions of people and lots of localities. You got it.
So I wanted everybody to understand, yes, it did affect
me
too.
And Mr. Greg Floyd, the Teamster Union, and many of the other, CWA, where my mother-in-law is a member, communication workers, they were all saying, you got to get rid of this. So food workers, they all, we did.
So, you mentioned public housing earlier.
Yes.
You've been the champion for public housing. I remember you federalized. There were, I believe it was
75.
21, maybe 21.
Yeah, it was first 75. Yes. We got 50, then 21. You're right.
That's right. 21 state and city buildings. You federalized them.
And what that meant is the federal government came in and put in more money when the city and state were taking the money out. But there's still not enough money. And this administration has cut public housing dramatically. So Senator Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez, we helped get them federalized, which put in some more money, and now we're fighting to have a nice big increase in two ways. One, the operating subsidies, so the rent doesn't go up too bad. But second, one of the worst things about public housing, on New York City public housing, it's like a city. 400,000 to 600,000 people live in public housing. That's a lot of people, more than most cities. And it's old. It was well built when they built it back in the 30s, 40s, 50s. The boilers are old, so sometimes there's no heat. The elevators are old, so sometimes you can live on the 10th floor and you can't get up there. The buildings haven't been kept up, so lots of them have mold and need paint jobs. Some of the paint is so old it has lead. We need all that redone, and that's called public housing capital assistance, and we got to get a big increase. We got some increase. We got a 2017, we got $346 million. In 2018, we got bumped it up to $528 million because of my efforts. But next year, I become majority leader. We're going to do a lot better.
Now, since you said that, we go on record. The rental assistance development is privatizing a lot of the developments. The mayor here was opposed to it before he became mayor, but now he's fell in love with it, and they're having RAD, rental assistance development. The housing authority, they're privatizing it. And they
privatizing,
said,
bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad
it's,
idea.
It's still, excuse me, maintaining control, but they're not managing the buildings. And
right.
Greg Russ has been hired, and he was at Cambridge. And Cambridge has a lovely model where they continue to have to unionize workers. They continue to have the staff. The only thing is they maintain those developments. And I don't think the housing authority here is going to do it the same way they did in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Well, I'll keep an eye on it, and I'll work with you, because I don't want to see this privatization either hurt the workers or hurt the people who live there.
Live there, yes.
Right. Either one.
So tell us now that we've gone through our list of questions here, what would you like to tell our audience?
Well, I'd like to tell the audience here that the bottom line is that I care about New York. I'm from New York, as you mentioned.
Yes.
I'm from Brooklyn. I'm the first senator from Brooklyn 180 years. I went to James Madison High School, as you mentioned. I was on the basketball team. You know what our motto was? We weren't very good. We may be small, but we're slow. But I love New York. I ride my bike. I'll tell you this,
yes,
a little about me. So I used to play basketball, and I would even go to play choose-up games. But when you get to be a little older, and your brain says jump, and your body stays on the ground, you better quit. So I stop playing basketball, and I ride my bike. I try to take a few hours off. It's a busy job. I work 7 days a week. But I take 4 or 5 hours off on a Saturday, and I ride my bicycle all around the city. I'm not in spandex going at 40 miles an hour. And I stop and talk to people. And I know every part of the city, and I love this city. I know the poor parts, I know the middle class parts, I know the wealthier parts. I stop and talk to people, and I love it. So I will do, New York is in my bones, and I will do everything in Washington to protect New York, as I've tried to do in the past, and God willing, God gives me strength, I'll continue to do it in the future.
Now, which one of your daughters like basketball?
My younger daughter. Want to hear a story about
her?
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So she went to Huddy Junior High School in Central Brooklyn, but they cut basketball, okay? So I'm playing in the park with her one day, and a guy taps me on the shoulder, and he says, he says, "Is that your daughter?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "She's pretty good." I said, "Thank you, sir." He says, "I'm the coach of your local Catholic parish team, St. Saviour's. And the rules of CYO, Catholic Youth Organization Ball, are if you live in the parish boundaries, you can play for the team. Would you mind if I asked your daughter if she wants to play for St. Saviour's, a local
okay?
team?"
Yeah.
I said, "I'd love it. She can't play ball at Huddy. They cut it." She played. Every Saturday, I would go with her to a different parish and we'd play. She was one of the high scorers of the whole CYO league. But I would go, it's a Saturday, I'd go in my khakis or my jeans and go in a sweatshirt, just trying to be a parent. But the people on the other side, we sat on one side, the people on the other side in the home team, they'd recognize me and they'd start whispering. I'd go, pss, 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 looking at me. And I said, I knew that they were saying, "We didn't know he was Catholic." So we'll end on that note.
Okay. So
that happy ecumenical note.
The reason I knew that is because you took your daughter, and you may have done it once or twice or more, but I saw you one Christmas at the Knick game.
Yes.
And I was there with my daughter.
There you go.
My daughter tasked me, daughter Jessica tasked me, says, "Do you know him?" I said,
"My daughter's Jessica too."
Right.
But not the ball playing
not
daughter.
Not the ball.
Allison
yes.
is the ball playing daughter.
So I said, "Yes, but we're going to leave him alone because we don't want to alert
you.
Everybody that he's
yes.
here."
Yes. So, well, we're not yes. going to go to too many Knick games this year.
No. Unfortunately, the season's been cut short. Once again, coronavirus.
Yeah, let's hope it can come back.
I think I don't know if the season can come back, but I know we will come back.
No
I know
question.
That we will be stronger. So I don't want to leave. We have 3 minutes. I
Go
don't
ahead.
Want to leave that dead air. There's got to be something that you want to say that's important.
Well, I'm going to say it in reference
yes.
to you,
okay.
Greg, and the union. My family was a union family. My mother was in CWA, my mother-in-law, I have relatives in construction and everywhere else. And these days unions somehow, the unions help build the middle class in America. And we need them very badly. And I fight for the unions. And I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. If you want working people to have a chance, to have a decent middle class life, you need a union. So that's why I've been so supportive of the unions, not for any ideological reason, but because I think they help the working people provide a ladder up. And our society needs ladders up. No one like wants a handout. But if you can get the opportunity through a union, through a good education, through whatever, to climb up, all the average American middle class person wants is to say, "I want to create a decent life for myself and a better life for my children." That's all they want. Unions help do that. I like unions very much.
We appreciate it. And we're going to support you and support everybody's efforts on both sides of the aisle.
Yes.
Because we have some very good friends on one who's retiring. He came on the show. We're sorry to see him go because he was as most bipartisan as you could get these days. Congressman Peter King.
Yep. And we work together on a whole lot of issues. A whole lot of issues together.
So we're going to miss him. And
yep, 9/11, when we had to get money for 9/11,
yes.
when we had to get money for Sandy, Peter King and I worked together. I didn't agree with him on everything, but that's okay.
But
we could work together for New York.
That makes a difference.
Yep.
So the last minute, we have one more minute.
Yep.
We want just anything you want to say to anybody before we just say.
Well, I've said a few things,
yes.
so let me all wish you all, during this coronavirus moment, good health for your family, and to know that we always recover from our problems. We're New Yorkers, we're fighters, we don't let anything get us down. So keep together, keep united, keep pushing, and we will get through this.
Thank you.
Greg, thank you.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Reaching Out. Our very special guest, Senator Chuck Schumer, who's the minority leader, and with everyone's help, he will be the majority leader, and we'll have a new vision going into 2021.
God
Thank
willing.
You for coming back.
Thank you.
To
we'll be back
out.
Again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.